This is No More Silence, a podcast dedicated to bringing an end to youth violence in Toledo. This is a youth-led podcast bringing high school and university students together with community leaders and experts to learn about the complex causes of youth violence. Experts will discuss initiatives in the city, trauma-informed communities, opportunity networks, the courage required of nonviolence, and much more. The podcast will bring to light youth experiences that stay hidden to the general community. Adults and youth will also share poetry considering the impact of adultism, which is an adult bias against youth. No More Silence is the result of the Ram Empowerment Project and Fearless Writers, two local programs fostering youth-led activism and knowledge creation. Welcome to No More Silence, part two of Considering Adultism. On this episode, we will be hearing excerpts from the Black Issues Conference at BGSU, where several students from Fearless Writers presented pieces written for the Community Empathy Write focused on adultism. We will also hear from high school students sharing their raw writing pieces from music they had chosen as writing prompts to highlight positive messages and issues that matter to youth. These writing prompts are similar to the first episode titled Considering Adultism. We will also be hearing from Najee Stone and Dallas Lothery, both juniors at Rogers High School, discussing their perspective on adultism. My name is Heather Cleary, and I teach social work at the University of Toledo, and I'm one of the founding members of a community writing group called Fearless Writers. This is our ninth year bringing local high school and university students together to write with each other and learn from each other about important social justice issues. We begin with a short excerpt from the Black Issues Conference that was held at BGSU on February 25th of 2025. The Black Issues Conference is a long tradition at BGSU to celebrate Black History Month. This conference has been a vital partner of Fearless Writers and has inspired many projects, including an investigation into Black history of Toledo neighborhoods and Zora Neale Hurston as a writer leading conversations about friendship and social separation. The Black Issues Conference has also encouraged undergraduate, graduate, and high school presenter participation, and it is a regular space for youth of color to express their thoughts and feelings about important social issues. The theme of this year's conference was Reviving, Renewing, and Rebuilding. Fearless Writers chose to approach this theme by emphasizing how youth-led advocacy is rebuilding the community after years of youth gun violence by discussing student work on the short documentary Sharing Our Stories, a response to the film Sons of Toledo, and this podcast, No More Silence. So the other group that we're highlighting is Fearless Writers, which this is the third year we've been doing a Community Empathy Write, which is university students, high school students, and community members. It's time limited, and we write about a particular public health issue, and have writers that inspire us. So the first year we looked at COVID and women's experience. The second year we looked at friendship and social mobility, and this year we're looking at adultism, which came out of the BS curriculum. So there was a focus on adultism. Any thoughts on what adultism's about or what that means?
Is it about how adults treat children?
So it's sort of that adults not dismissing kids or not taking them seriously, and they see that as at the heart of not having conversations about gun violence between young people and adults. And the experience of gun violence is very different for young people than it is for the parents. So there's not a lot of dialogue across generations. So the hope of Fearless Writers is we start to do that. And I put up here sort of what inspires it and what we're about. We do really poetry that's autoethnographic as a group, and we use Amherst Writers and Artists method, which sort of puts us all on equal footing, and we give strengths-based feedback about, and we're hoping we get to demonstrate it for you guys today a little bit for us. Also, Fearless Writers joins some other sort of community writing cultures. I didn't realize that when we were developing it, but
There's some famous cities that also have writing projects that are intergenerational or university linked. The Mighty Writers is probably the one that I think of the most. It's in Philadelphia, and they do a lot of really great things. Some of them have fallen apart since COVID, so I think they've been really hard to keep. But there's one in Detroit too, which I have yet to visit. But there's a conference every 2 years on just community writing projects. Narrative medicine is a movement within medicine where physicians and patients write together to better empathize with each other and learn about each other from more of a more human perspective. And we sort of fall in line with a lot of what they do, but more from like a public health perspective and a more macro level.
We return to Rogers High School to hear from Najee, who will share her raw writing piece and her thoughts about adultism. She's answering the following questions developed by youth to learn more about experiences of adultism. How does not having adults take youth seriously impact relationships between youth and adults? Talk about a time when an adult did not listen. How did you get them to listen? If not, how did it feel? What are potential consequences of adults not taking you seriously? How might adultism impact confidence and self-esteem? Speak about a time when a parent did not show for something important. Are there times when it is difficult to talk with parents and about what topics?
Hello, I'm Najee Stone. I go to Rogers High School. I'm a junior. And then I'm going to read a piece that I wrote about the song Green Eyes by Erykah Badu. It says, my place is my home where I feel the most like me, where I can be me. Inside these walls, I am free.
How might adultism impact confidence and self-esteem?
Having someone who is a adult or older than you anyway kind of diminish how you look at something or feel about something can hurt, especially because when you think about older people, you put them on kind of on a pedestal, so you kind of look up to them and you kind of, whatever they say kind of goes in a way. And, you know, it's how you were raised your whole life to, but all adults are right in a way. Sometimes they're not, but that's how you kind of grow up thinking. So when you have an adult telling you that you're doing something that's not good and you feel like you're doing something that is good, that kind of diminishes how you feel about yourself, and it can make you just think that you're not good at it or make you not want to do it no more, or reach out to anybody that is older than you and tell them about these good things that you think that you're doing, because you might not get the reaction that you want out of the information that you told them.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is there a time when an adult didn't show up for something special to you that has lingered for you? And what lesson do you think you learned from that?
I wouldn't say necessarily I had a personal experience with my people not showing up, because me and my family are very close knit. So whenever there is any type of event, they tend to show up. Either it doesn't matter who it is, you know, somebody's always there. But I can speak on how that could affect other kids, you know, like if there's a basketball game and you want your parents there, you look in the stands, everybody else's parents is there and your parents isn't, that could hurt. Or, you know, just having somebody that isn't showing up there, and you just look around and you see all these other people, like you can start to compare. And when you start comparing, you start getting your own idea, or they never show up for me, they don't love me, they don't do this, they don't that. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't work out like that, but sometimes it's just an icky situation when it comes to like being there. Sometimes, you know, you got younger siblings who need to watch, or your parents gotta work and, you know, they can't be there, but of course you want your parents there. Of course you want anybody there just so you can have that. But, you know, it doesn't work out like that sometimes.
Yeah. So you're pointing out that not every kid has parents that can come to events, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're working or mm-hmm. they're taking care of smaller children. What can all families do to support all kids?
If there is someone who can be present, reach out to that family member Because, you know, even if it's a cousin, auntie, you know, sometimes, you know, just having someone you know, a familiar face, can go a long way. So being like, hey, you know, reaching out to like a cousin, hey, so-and-so has a game today. Can you just show up just so you're there and they see you? And then, you know, that can just feel good. It goes a long way. Just, you know, feel like you don't have nobody to share a special moment with. When then you look around and see everybody else, it doesn't feel good. So.
Yeah. Can you remember a time when it was difficult to talk to an adult?
I wouldn't say it's easy to always talk to an adult. Usually around kids around my age, we tend to have our friends that we fall on. You know, sometimes when you have a situation where you feel like maybe you're in the wrong and you just want that second opinion and you go to a friend, usually if they're your friend, they are on your side with it and they don't really hold you accountable. And that's not necessarily all the time good, because even if you are doing something wrong, your friends are like, oh, no, you didn't do anything wrong. And it could just make you have this image that this wasn't wrong what I did, and you continue to do it, but it's not a good thing. So talking to an adult could be a good thing, because, you know, they're an adult, so of course they are a little bit more wiser, have a little bit more life experience, and can give you that, you know, structure that you need to realize that what you did wasn't good. But then again, like I said, going to an adult with problems isn't always the easiest thing, because I'm always like, okay, well, I know I'm about to get a lecture, so I'm about to sit here and just get talked to. But it's sometimes you need that, you need to hear that, because after you get a good talking, so, you know, you sit with that for a little bit and you just reflect. So I feel like it's good to reach out to adults and say, hey, I feel like this about the situation. Maybe am I wrong or am I right?
Are there any topics in general that you've noticed are hard for your peers to talk to their parents or to an adult about?
Mental health is a big one. Just the question, are you okay? Mentally, are you okay? Just in general, is a hard thing to get asked, because, you know, sometimes you aren't, but you don't want to say that, oh, no, I'm not, because then that comes with all of this stuff that, you know, you might need the help, but then again, you don't want to ask for the help because you're scared of what people might think, people might say, and how the situation might go. And that could be scary in itself and kind of pushes you away from actually doing what you need, what you know you need. That's why, like I said, kind of falling on friends, but then again, sometimes you might feel like a burden, and then you kind of just keep it in with yourself. So I feel like that mental health is one of the biggest things that don't get talked about as much with kids nowadays, and reaching out to adults. Sometimes there is trusted adults that you do trust, but some of them are mandated reporters, so if you do sit there and tell them all this stuff, they might, you know, have to go. So that's another thing. You know, we know that sometimes our information isn't always safe, but then again, sometimes it does get to a point where you do just break down and it just all comes out.
The following are raw writing pieces by sophomore fearless writers who will introduce themselves and the prompts they use for each piece.
Hello, my name is Sydney. I go to Rogers High School and I'm a sophomore. I chose the song Wise Man by Frank Ocean. And there's two lines I chose out of the song. It was, I bet your mother will be proud, and madman closes fists, young man shows his age, judge man named descent. And these words mean that how people act is judged by the man who makes them act the way they act.
Hi, my name is Romani. I'm a sophomore at Rogers. I chose the song Lose to Win by Fantasia. My favorite part of it was, sometimes you gotta win to lose again. I picked it because it made sense to me, because you have to lose a lot of times to keep winning.
My name is Jalen Johnson. I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. What inspired my writing is Lauryn Hill, Everything is Everything. I wrote, "What is meant to be will be." What I meant by this, I said, I feel you should not force nothing. If it's meant to be, it will happen.
Hi, my name is Jada, and I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. A quote that inspired me was, "All I Want is Loyalty" by Kendrick Lamar. This quote inspires me because loyalty means so much to me, and I would pick loyalty over love any day.
My name is Imani Massingill, and I'm a sophomore at Rogers High School. I chose the song "Keep Your Head Up" by Tupac Shakur. My line was, "And I realized my mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right." I think I relate to those lyrics because my own mother had me at a young age. Her mother had just passed, and her dad didn't really care. And she still ended up raising us to be who we are today, even without my father's help. Only help she had was her brothers, sisters, and best friend. She's now an esthetician, and we all have good grades, do sports, and work hard.
My name is Cheyenne, and I'm a sophomore at Rogers, and the song that inspired my writing is Keep My Head Up by Tupac. I wrote down, Tupac said, "I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, why do we hate our women?" I feel connected to that part because if men love women so much, why do they do the things they do to harm them?
We head back to the Black Issues Conference to hear our high school presenters.
Hello, guys. My name is Hyder Al-Hajri, and this is my piece by Tupac Shakur, Keep Your Head Up. World won't let go, but time keeps going, and kids grow up. Just make sure your daughter isn't a single mother, and your son won't leave like his father. So give love to your daughters. He's not here today, but this is MacArthur. That in life you are not going to have everything go your way. That sometimes you are going to have to lose to win again. This is by Javion Finn. Everything is everything, and what is meant to be will be. These are the two most important lines to me. Everything that happens to you in life is for a reason, whether it is good or bad. Everything that has greater purpose, after winter must come spring. Winter is the harsh conditions or hardships that you go through. Spring is new life and new opportunities, things to start again. Color again, that color represents the better that is yet to come.
So we have other folks that weren't able to join us. We've had a hard time with illness and weather. So this is Kiara's. It's inspired by Alive and Well by Jaheen Aika. There, thank you. I think she is saying no matter what she's going through, she's still alive and living through pain, and she's still pushing through and being strong and being blessed, especially through hard, stressful, and unexpected times. This is Madeline, inspired by Free Your Eyes Only by J. Cole. "For Your Eyes Only" is a song for his daughter, meaning he might not be here in the future. He says, "Write my story down, and if I pass, go play it for my daughter. When she's ready, and so I'm leaving you with this record, For Your Eyes Only." And then Sydney, "Innocence disappeared by the age of 8 years. He has seen things kids were not supposed to see, as if he is trying to protect his daughter from all the things he has seen."
I did my song on "The Best" by Road Wave. This song is about him being the best. He talks about it being lonely on top. He could do anything and it succeed. He has been the best for a long time. He has proven himself. He talks about God in his song. He is famous. He's important. He's the best. But at the top, it's very lonely.
Yeah.
This is by Mari. She sadly could not be here today. She's at school. "You think this is hard? Wait till you're an adult. Yes, being adult is hard, but you undermine how I feel. Teach me that you don't care. I try to advocate for my emotions, but it seems as bad talk. But then you complain when all you get is silence. I pick my battles, and this one isn't worth wasting the air in my lungs.
Okay, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm doing Najay's. Najay wrote, well, her song was Cranes in the Sky by Solange. And her quote was, I just love this song. To write it away, to cry it away, I think metal clouds, are like hard things that you think about. The sad things that go on are metal clouds. These things that go away, that won't go away. Okay, this one was mine. I had Green Eyes by Erykah Badu. Love has got me sore was the quote I picked from the song. This quote shows that love is painful and hard. Love isn't easy, nor is it difficult, but it can become a burden if you are not with the right person.
We return to Rogers to hear more from Najay and Dallas. Dallas will be sharing her writing, and both of them will be sharing more thoughts on adultism.
My name is Dallas. I go to Rogers High School, and I'm a junior. The song that inspired it was Paisley Park by Prince and the Revolution. From the song, I picked the quote, "The girl on the seesaw is laughing." I picked this quote because it reminded me of being a kid playing on the playground with my childhood friends, laughing, playing in the sun, getting ice cream, and taking car naps. It gives me the summer vibes in 2014 before my first day of kindergarten.
So how does not having adults take you seriously impact relationships between young people and adults?
I think that when an adult doesn't take you serious, it kind of, diminishes your confidence in a way. So that could play a part in it. Maybe not trusting someone as much. Maybe you were excited to tell them something and then they just kind of rain on your parade and it just makes you just like feel bad about yourself and I'm kind of sad.
Can you think of an example, not necessarily about you, but that you saw happen with a friend or in class where an adult sort of diminished or you could see that it came in the way of trusting an adult? Do you have something to add, Dallas?
I have a teacher, and like she doesn't really teach. I feel like she more or less just hands out work, and when you like ask for help or you start getting behind, like she doesn't really do anything about it. Like she'll still take your work, but she doesn't like really teach, so like I don't really understand it to like turn the work in, if that makes sense. Like I feel like for it to be like a AP class, she should be more hands-on or like at least explain it in more detail if you're not gonna help. Like I don't know, it just doesn't add up.
So can you tie that example to a lack of respect between the adult and the students? Does that feel to you like there's
I don't feel like it's a lack of respect. Like I feel like, you know, like, and like she's like disrespecting us, like, and like she just talks to us crazy or something, like she just doesn't do anything. But I feel like it's just a lack of like her not wanting to do her job. Like you get paid to teach and you not teaching, so it's like,
can I add something?
I don't know, I don't understand that.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I feel like Dallas said some teachers are very much like not conscious sometimes, and I feel like when teachers have more of a hands-on approach to work, it does make it a little bit more of a healthier environment for the students and the teacher as well.
You learn more.
Definitely learn more, and it definitely makes school a little bit more enjoyable.
Yeah.
So I get what Dallas is saying.
Yeah.
It's just like you got a teacher who feel like you just doesn't really care, or they just hand you work and there's really nothing, no type of interaction or
quote unquote teaching, they're just letting you be. It doesn't really help a lot.
Yeah. So it's almost like that interaction is needed to build a relationship between the teacher and the student. Is that what
it
was?
I mean, it needs to pass, too. Like, right. If I don't understand what the work is, if you haven't explained it thoroughly, and I have questions, and you just look at me like I'm crazy, like, then I'm not going to understand. I'm not going to learn. I'm not going to get the grade that I want to get. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they should take that extra time to fully explain us, like a project, a paperwork, anything. Because, I mean, not every kid gets it off rip. Not every kid is, you know, the same. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's very crucial mm-hmm. for kids that are not, like,
yeah. I also think, like, if you already have the idea of, well, you already got this perception of the teacher of, well, when I walk in this classroom, we're not going to do anything. They're not going to speak to me. I'm not going to learn. So you already got this idea, well, I'm not going to speak to the teacher, and they're not going to speak to me. And that kind of just brings down your whole view of the teacher in general. You dread going to
Like, dang, I got to go to the class today. Like, it's so, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Y'all get paid to teach, and y'all don't want to teach. At that point, don't be a teacher. I don't understand that.
I think that being hands-on is better in any way. Because it's just more, the participation is there, the excitement is there. And then it shows when you take the test, it shows when you do the work, you know, down the line and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Can you talk about a time when an adult didn't listen? And how did you get them to listen? And if not, how did it feel that they didn't listen to you?
Sometimes you do have to kind of, quote unquote, put your foot down when it comes down to actually telling people how you feel or telling someone how you feel. Like, sometimes it is harder to tell maybe like your parents or an older adult, like, you really hurt my feelings or you did this to me and made me feel this type of way, because, you know, you kind of look at them as these higher ups. But it's okay to, if your feelings are hurt, it's your feelings, and it's valid. So it's okay to be like, okay, like, you hurt my feelings, even if there are an adult. So that's like, you know, kind of how I see it.
Yeah. Anything you want to add, Alice?
I mean, I've asked for help in, like, in the same class I was just talking about. I've literally asked for help, and, like, she just kind of looked at me, and I just kind of looked at her like, you're not going to say nothing? Like, you're not going to. Okay, for sure. I don't even think I did the assignment, because it wasn't about to play in my face. So I don't even think I did it. But it was the whole point that it was, like, not just me. It wasn't just me that didn't understand. But it's like, since we don't talk to her, it was like no one else wanted to ask her for help because she don't teach. So it was like, I didn't really understand what we were doing. And it was like, my other friend didn't understand. I got like 3 friends in that class, and we all was like lost. And it was like, no one wanted to go ask her. And when I went to go ask, she had nothing to say. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I was upset.
Yeah.
And I never, you know, got the, you know, like, I never got her to like explain it. We just kind of figured it out on our own, but I didn't like that. It was like she read the question that I had back to me, like, was I supposed to understand the, like, I already, no, and it's so stupid. Like, I already know what the question said. You rereading it to me is not gonna help me understand the question even like more. If I didn't understand it when I read it, why would I understand it when you read it? Like,
yeah, it sounds like there's a real disconnect there.
Yeah, and it was stressful. I don't ask for help no more. I'm just gonna sit there a little bit.
Well, that's dangerous, right? Like, if the relationship between young people and adults is that if I ask for help and I don't get it, then people just stop asking for help when they need it.
Yeah.
What are the potential consequences of adults not taking youth seriously?
My grades start to drop. I'm still upset. Like, you don't understand.
Yeah, but what are the consequences of, if there's a disconnect and confusion over schoolwork and there are bad grades, what are the consequences of bad grades?
My mama gonna call the school. Like, I'm gonna get in trouble. Like, it's a lot that goes with that. And it's like, I take real deal care of my grades. And it was like, I had to be in her class. And having like that be like an AP class, I was mad. Like, I don't even get B's. And if I'm not having B's in my non-honor classes, why do I have a B in your class? You're the only class I've been in.
So I was really, really upset. So I started, you know, trying to figure out the assignments more on my own and asking for help out of my friends, not out of her. And I don't know, like, I had told my mom I had to be, and I was upset. And she was like, it's fine. But I was upset. Mm-hmm. So it's even, like, even if my mom is supportive of the fact that, like, I'm having to be, I don't want to be, I shouldn't be having a B if I don't have a B in any other class. Like, it right. doesn't make sense to me.
Especially when you've asked for help and say that, you know, you want to do what you need to do to earn a better grade, and you're not getting any guidance.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the consequences of adults not taking you seriously?
I think that when teenagers or kids in general are willing to reach out and take that step and ask for the help, and then to not get the help even though they took that step, because it's not the easiest to be like, hey, I need something. Because some people, like me, don't like asking other people for help, don't like, you know, feeling vulnerable in certain situations. So to extend your hand and to ask, hey, I need this or whatever, and then to not get it or to just get overlooked asking for anything, that's my last time. You know, you could get that mentality, and it's not the best thing, the best mentality to have, especially when, you know, there is help out there and there's people who are willing to help and willing to be there for you.
I am Dallas Lothry. I'm a junior and I go to Rogers High School.
Awesome. Can you remember a time when it was difficult to talk to parents? So, and about what topics?
My mom is very open with me. Like, it's not hard to talk to my mom, but I know a couple of, like, my peers that's, like, hard to talk to their moms about, or parents, I should say, about, like, sex and, you know, like, different ways to protect themselves, boys, I guess, you know, get into relationships. Like, if something has happened to them, I feel like sometimes, not all the time, you know, they might be scared because, you know, your parents always want you to be safe, or, you know, if you've done something stupid, you don't always want to tell your parents. You feel like they'll be disappointed in you or they'll see you differently. I try to, you know, use my mom. My mom is very, you know, open. My mom is a social worker. So, you know, she's day in, day out helping kids, you know, parents in general. So if they really have, like, a question that, you know, I know my mom has answered for me, or I think I might know if my mom has talked to me about it, I might give them that advice. Or I'd be like, you know, you can ask my mom about that, you know. You know, my mom is just one of those helping moms, I guess. She always is trying to help. So usually, or I'll be like, you know, you could go to, like, our health center or, you know, our counselors.
So it sounds like there's some adults in the building that you recommend
people
go see if they're feeling nervous about talking to the parents.
Yeah.
Do you think all your peers know who those adults are in the building that you can trust with those kinds of questions and concerns?
I feel like some of, like, my class, like 2026 class, have their own, you know, groups of people that they trust as adults. You know, we have the hub, a lot of people go there. I know they changed their name, but, you know, a lot of people go there too. You know, when they're frustrated or upset, a lot of people trust our counselors with stuff. You know, our counselors are very open, I want to say. They're not hard to talk to, I feel like. If you have a question or concern, I feel like our counselors could put you in the right direction and, you know, give you the information that you need, if anything else. If they don't know, they'll give you the information, or they'll send you to somebody that does know if they don't. I feel like our staff is pretty good in that aspect. But
so is it Tackle RFS that you're thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Tackle, yeah. There's a lot of, you know, like, behavioral kids that go there, as well as just, like, people that know the staff that's in there that'll just go in there, you know. I've met a couple of them. They're pretty nice, so.
Back at Black Issues, we hear from Amelia and Hyder again about the Amherst process, and Bryson Davis, a Fearless Rider alum and currently a school-based violence interrupter for Save Our Community. But do you guys want to say what the process is like? What do we normally do when we have a prompt?
Usually, depending on like if it's a like a music video, or we'll listen to the music and write as we listen, like what it makes us feel, what we think about it, anything. And if it's just like a writing prompt, like Mari's was, which was you think it's hard, wait until you're an adult. We'll have like a certain amount of time, and then we'll write how we feel about that statement.
It's important to know that you can't do it wrong. Like, there's no right or wrong way to write about a topic. You know, you could read it. It could be one line, one sentence, one word that catches your eye. You could write about just that. It's really just about you. So don't, and there's no pressure. There's nothing you could do right or wrong. It's just writing and expression.
And you can write in fiction form if you want, poetry, essay, really stream of consciousness. You can do whatever you want.
Let me make a rap.
Yeah.
You can give me a rap first.
And then what happens after we write? Right. We usually write from 5 to 7 minutes. After school, sometimes we'll go up to 10 minutes where people just write whatever comes to mind. Then what happens after that?
We usually read them aloud to each other.
And we still do strengths-based feedback, right? So we do a process called strengths-based feedback where, you know, after somebody reads their piece, they'll be able to, the people in the group will be able to give a feedback that obviously is strength-based and nothing that's diminishing or critiquing, but just talking about what they liked about it and, you know, what they got or how they understood their piece, what they understood it to me.
So, Heider, you've been doing it for 4 years now. So when you've been writing pretty much every week for 4 years while you're in school, do you think the process has been helpful to you in any way?
Yeah, it's been helpful. The feedback's good. Talks about your strong points. And yeah. Nothing really diminishing. You don't ever get any like critiques on it, but
yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Do you think it's raised your confidence in your writing at all, or?
Yeah. It helped me talk out to people, you know, present myself more. Mm-hmm. Just another little groove every week, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And yeah, both these guys are mic droppers too, by the way. Like, most of the time I'm crying after they write, and like, nobody wants to share after the two of them right there because they're so good. But yeah. And like, Amelia and Dallas, Amelia's really pretty new to the process, right? This is your, well, you did so some last year.
Yeah.
And Dallas, you've been doing it for 3 years now too. Yeah. Anything you guys want to add to what it's like?
Oh, well, usually when we're in the groups, like she said, she works with different social workers. So we'll be accompanied by different adults, and they'll also write their pieces. But at least in my experiences, this was 2 years ago, but it was, you know, they had their little pieces and whatnot, and they were able to share it. But they definitely gave the youth the spotlight, and we spoke more about our pieces than the adults in the room.
And finally, we hear from our seniors and students from the Club Keystone Project. They will be sharing their raw writing pieces and will introduce themselves and the prompts.
Hi, my name is Javion Finn, and I am a senior at Rogers High School. Today, I'll be reading one of my writings, responding to a song by Fantasia named Sometimes You Gotta Lose to Win Again. All winners have been losers at some point in their life. Losses are like lessons. When you lose, you learn a lot and become even more eager to win. The feeling of losing makes you never want to lose again. It also pushes you to do your best to ensure you never lose again. Sometimes you gotta lose to win again.
My name is MacArthur Johnson. I go to Rogers High School, and this is a piece on Janae Aiko. Alive and well, peace and harmony, gratitude and thankfulness. Even though I am far, I am alive and well. Even though I've lost those I've loved, I am still alive and well. And I am grateful, and I ask for you to be well.
Hi, my name is Sydney Savage-Utley, and I am a senior at Rogers High School. Alive and Well by Janae Aiko. Peace, as she begins to sing, an overwhelming feeling of peace falls over you. It's soft and calm. The repetition of the lyrics allow it to feel like a meditation song. It may get people out of a sadness to just be thankful that they're alive and well. The sound effects change the rush in your body to become relaxed.
I am Amelia Ruiz. I'm in the 12th grade, and I go to Rogers High School. My prompt was Frank Ocean's Wise Man. The beat steady, quiet but strong, unrelenting.
highlights the words to the questions, the highs, the lows, in the background but still known.
My name is Adriana Davis, and I'm a 12th grader. My school is Rogers High School. The prompt was Find Your Wings by Tyler, the Creator. Supposed to fly and take control because you're the pilot. Don't let your wings go to waste. The sky is your home.
My name is Wendy Eastler. I am the club director for the Club James A. Huber Teen Center. The prompt was Tupac, keep your head up. The phrase that stuck out most to me is, I think it's time to kill for our women, heal our women, be real to our women. I have seen this part of the song more frequently due to the election. I appreciate Tupac for his lyrics. This is my favorite part because he shines a light on the treatment of women.
My name is Jashayla Hightower. My grade is 9th grade, and my school is Rogers High School, and my prompt is from Tupac's Keep Your Head Up. The part that stood out to me the most was when he said, she said you were at the top where it's lonely, because most people aren't successful all the time.
We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to the high school writers of Fearless Writers and the University of Toledo for their support of the project. Thank you to Anna Brown at BGSU, sophomore, junior, and seniors of Avid, Tina DeBoard, Keystone, Bryson Davis, Wendy Eastler, and Dushan Head. In Considering Adultism Part 3, both adult and youth members will be sharing writing pieces and what they learned overall from the exploration of adultism and from participating in a community writing project. To find out more and listen to other episodes, visit wgte.org/nomoresilence. I'm Heather Cleary, and you have been listening to No More Silence.
WGTE. Voices Around Us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.